This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
This is Behind the Rose, where Bachelor Nation meets country music and everything in between. Here's your host, Blake Horseman.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Behind the Rose podcast. I'm your host, Blake Horseman, here with my buddy, as usual, Eric Bradley. It is Monday night, right after the episode. We are going to recap here with our special guest, Jared. Thanks for coming on, man.
It's great to be here. Thank you for having me. What did we think of the episode? What do you guys think?
I tell you what, I'm shocked. And we predicted last week our Final Four, and we thought it was a lock, man. We thought it was a lock, and I was wrong. We were both wrong, yeah.
What did you guys have?
Pretty much had the same. Greg, Michael S., Andrew.
And
Blake.
Blake, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought at some point Michael A. would send himself home.
Oh, I'm sorry, like Michael A., not Michael S. Sorry, I'm not
Michael A. I knew Andrew was going home the minute I said it. I said it out loud. The minute he said to her, I don't know what's next, and then asked her to like choose, like pitch him ideas for what he should do in life next, I was like, oh, it's over. Nothing gets a woman more less hot than a guy with no future direction, because he sounded like an influencer who's just started a podcast. He was like, so what would you guys want to hear about? It's like, dude,
that's such a good point, actually. I didn't think of it like that.
The minute he said that, I was like, it's over for Andrew S. That guy's going home. He better get on monster.com, start looking for a job. I was like,
that LinkedIn profile going.
Start sprucing the resume. Because he was like, you know, when football's over, it's like two desks, which, listen, I played high school football. It sucks to like not be able to play, but you can't play like pickup football in the same way you can like do pickup basketball.
Yeah. Right.
So
right.
I understand what he's talking about, but it's like, he's like, so he is holding on to a dream when you're playing football, American football in Austria, like, you know, like
yeah, that's holding on to every last.
You're drinking to the last drop. So I get what he's going through to a certain extent, but like, when you say it to a woman who's like ready to get married, like, you know, Michael A. owns a business, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So I knew that moment. I go, oh, that guy's gone. No question.
That's a good point. I didn't really think of it.
It was weird how he addressed that. That was so weird. We'll get there, but
We'll get there because, like, I agree.
Sorry
to
jump ahead.
I was kind of good at reaching for a reason, but I guess that's a pretty good point right there, like what you just made. Because I mean, I'm a big Andrew
I've
fan.
Met you. I'm retiring now.
If you want me to, I'll retire.
And I'm not Peyton Manning.
Me and my $26,000 a year I made in U.S. dollars over in Austria.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's not like he was like, oh, and I want to do this with the next part of my life. He goes, what would you, any ideas on what I should do?
Where do you see us?
Do you have a brand manager for your social media that can hook me up with some 15 sponsorship when this is all over? Like, it did have that sound to it. And again, like, I like everyone that's left on the show. There isn't one guy that I'm like, you know, you make fun of me, you bust balls. But like, at the same time, like it did. I was just like, I saw that and I was like, I wouldn't feel comfortable getting engaged with that on my shoulders. Yeah. So why would a woman trust that he is, you know?
Good point. It's a great point. Yeah, it's a great point. So what did you think? So we kind of start the episode off. Obviously, it's the time where like guys are in their heads and they're all worried about like, are we gonna get a 1-on-1? Who hasn't had a 1-on-1? Blah 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 blah. Greg gets the next 1-on-1. Greg gets his next 1-on-1. What do you think of Greg, Jared? What do you think of Greg, man? Because I've seen a lot of differing opinions about this guy.
Greg's a love bomber and a liar. I don't buy it.
I don't
buy it from Greg from minute one. It was a couple episodes ago where he did that I love you thing, but it was a fake I love you. That's a move, dude.
He did
the thing with the ring. Remember, he was proposing to her during the game, mm-hmm. and he goes,
"That's right."
And he said, "I love you," but in a joking way. And then they go to interview Katie, and she goes, "He did say it though." And it's like, yeah, he knew exactly what he was doing in that instance. He's trying to win as much as, you know, Thomas was trying to win. He's just better at it. And Hunter was trying to win. He's a more sly dude. Yeah. And like, listen,
well, he is an actor.
Yeah, he's an actor, supposedly. Like, this is all information I've been getting after the fact. Like, I didn't even know this, but I was like, he was just pulling stuff that, like, if you want to be liked, he's doing things that people do to be liked. And it was interesting. You know, he does the thing with the niece and nephew. I'm such a family guy. My niece and nephew, they're so important. It's like, what do you do? You take them for ice cream once a year? Like, it's like, being an uncle ain't the hardest fucking thing in the world. So it's like, so just the way he plays up certain things. And when he did that I love you thing, like, you can't say I love you on a love show without consequence.
That's very
and
true.
So Greg, to me, and he does this like crackly voice. It's always, I call him sensitive Greg. It's always sensitivity first. And so I'm not really, I just don't buy it from Greg. It's not that I don't like him. Like,
mm-hmm,
you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So interesting you say that, because I think we'll get to the night portion of the day, but the day portion of the date, no matter what you think about Greg, Katie is clearly into him.
Katie is into him.
Like, yeah, I mean, their chemistry, like, they just have fun together, you know, and they're like joking, they're having fun. She seems like it's an escape. He's a bit of an escape for her. But I agree, and you're not alone in your opinion. I think you either love Greg or you hate Greg. You know what I mean?
The other thing she keeps saying to him is, sorry to interrupt, but she keeps saying, you're hanging back. On the group dates, you don't, you know, really make an effort. And it's like, yeah, he's letting this fall into his lap. Like, it, you know, you have to, you know, I think especially like men, I talk about dating a lot on podcasts. You know, Blake, you were on the show, and it was like men like to like climb the mountain. So why isn't he climbing? Why isn't he aspiring to her? Why isn't he and I'm not saying he's got to be Hunter, like, you know, headhunting on during, you know, the basketball field basketball date. Like, I don't think he has to do that. But the fact that she's asking if he likes hit her,
yeah,
is so interesting to me. Like, why aren't you?
Yeah, it's
getting...
like she's chasing him.
She's chasing exactly.
And it should be.
He's playing hard to get, almost. Like, it's such a weird thing.
It's like he doesn't want to be there at all.
Yeah.
So it's a weird thing. So it's like, is he playing hard to get because he knows he's in deep, or is he playing hard to get because he claims it's how he is, but like. And he goes into this whole bullying thing where you're like, I don't buy it. I just don't, you know, but the day part of the date, like, you watch it, you go, oh yeah, there's something here, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I agree. The night portion of the day is where he kind of gets the sensitive Greg thing again. He talks about his insecurities, not only like in the house, which everybody has insecurities in that environment. Obviously you're dating one girl who's dating your friends, but then he talks about like the bullying and like how he's been insecure. And he said his sister said it's like most unattractive thing about him or whatever. Like, that's what's wrong with him. I was like, damn, so she's a savage. But it seemed like I get it to a degree, cause I've been in that environment and I know you get in your head, but at the same time, it's like, man, you got to give her, like, he's just asking for a lot of reassurance from her, where I feel like he's not reciprocating at all. She's like, are you gonna leave? She like asked him straight up, like, even, I feel like you're gonna leave, you know?
That's
like,
the part that was crazy.
And even tonight, she was like, I have the clarity I wanted with him. I was like, where'd that come from tonight?
So I don't know. I just feel like they're foreshadowing a lot with him. Like, we've seen it in the previews, and now she literally straight to his face was like, I felt like you were going to leave. And he like hesitated, and he's like, you know, it's been hard.
I mean, he couldn't even commit to catching the fish.
Like, a couple times.
It's like you walked away from it. She threw the fish at him. He was like, whoa, you're like, dude, you're on the date. They got fucking towels and shit.
It was kind of a cool little date, because like it was basically Katie's hometown date, if you will.
Yeah. I mean, it's all Seattle.
The rain at the end. The rain at the end was great. Shout out to production for that. Well, that was so fantastic. Like
they did the gum. If I don't know if you're familiar with Seattle, but they got the gum wall, Pike's Place. They did everything there.
Yeah, they got creative at this date. And I'm like we've been saying, Katie's clearly in him. So we'll see what happens.
Do you think that the Seattle date, like someone, like I remember they did a New York date for Zach and Tayshia. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I live in the city. What the hell are they doing? This is like this kind of, I've been to Seattle many times and I was like, is this the Times Square version of going to Seattle? Like Pike Place. I don't think anyone from there has been there like three times in their life. They, you know, like they're not hanging out there.
That was the most tourist, touristy. I guess even the gum wall, like that's super touristy. Like all of it was super touristy. We'll be right back.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
The rain thing was so amazing to me because Greg, this is when Greg, I don't buy it. Sensitive Greg, I.
Yeah, did you see his face?
When he looks at the rain like he's never seen rain before. Oh. Like it would look like he was what is he, in the cast of holes? You know, like he's like, oh my God. Finally, the great drought is over. And it's like, dude, you know, like, I don't know. He was really playing it up, and you see shit like that, and you go, what's going on, dude? Like, everything is a 10 or a 0? Like, when do you meet him?
That's a good point, because he's either insanely happy or over the top, or he's like sad face, resting sad face, whatever she called him. Like,
sure.
Yeah. It's a great point. So, I don't know. Katie's clearly eating it up, but we'll see what happens next week. He gets the rose, so that's one of our final four right now, guys. Greg. Going to hometowns. Then we get into the group date. We get into the group date, and they read the group date card, I should say. They read the group date card, and actually, I can't even remember his name right now. What's
Brendan.
The guy's
Brendan.
Name?
Brendan.
Brendan. So Brendan.
Blake, I have a question for you before you go into the – what it's interesting this season more than any other season is the math they keep doing. Did you do that when you were on the show? Like, were you going, well, he got one date – you got a one-on-one date. Like, nobody gets a second one-on-one date. Like, were you doing that type of stuff while on the show? Because they've never shown that really before.
Yeah, I feel like they never.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, that's a good question. They don't show it, but yes. Honestly, yes. Like, you have so much time on your hands. You overthink everything. Like, I remember sitting around trying to figure out, okay, how many roses are there going to be this week? How many people are going home this week? Who's had the one-on-ones? Who's had the group dates? Who had the most group date roses? Like, you overthink everything. But I agree. They really haven't showed it to the point that they have this season. I feel like they've been reaching for content like this whole season, like reaching for villains, reaching for content. Like,
sure.
So much.
Especially because they're not traveling. You know, we forget, we forget this is the pandemic version of the show. Like, it's not, you know, this isn't the real show as much as it's become the real show. But I just noticed that it's like, when they said, like, it's down to you two who have never gotten the one-on-one date. Like, I know they've never gotten the one-on-one dates because I barely know their name.
I didn't even know Brendan's name,
you know? Like, it's like, you know, I don't think Brendan knows why. I assume Brendan's there because he's friends with Blake. And I think I really do believe that. I think...
That was really cute that he went and said goodbye to him.
Yeah, of course. But Brendan, I mean, it also plays into how Katie's been. Katie is big on rewards for being bold. She's also big on keeping house camaraderie up. Mm. So she wants smoothness in the house, also rewarding people for doing things that would be commendable, would get you likes on Instagram. Like if someone's like, I love my children, that gets you more likes than, I here's a picture of me looking hot, you know? Yeah. So
that's such a great way to look at
it. Katie rewards people. So, she's done it the whole season. So,
She really has. Yeah. I don't know. I thought this was weird. So I agree. Like, obviously we don't see everything. There are conversations. Mm-hmm. Hundreds of conversations we don't see. But Brandon still being there blows my mind because we haven't gotten any time with him. I have never personally seen where he doesn't get on the group date and he goes and sees Katie. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think I've seen that before. Like, why not just go on the date?
Even like during like the after parties or whatever, they never show.
It was strange to me. It was an interesting strategy. Like, I think maybe he genuinely thought it was going to go well. Like, maybe he was like, I'm going to go in there and she's going to be like, you know what? I'm going to give you the one-on-one date, you know? Like, what did he think was going to happen?
I kind of thought he was leaving the show himself. Like, but then he did say his goodbyes, but I was kind of like, oh, he's like, let me just talk to this person because I don't want to stay. I would imagine, just like you said, like, you're there with nothing to do. There's a point where you go, I got to go home. I'm not a central character. I'm not getting like, you know, the social media stuff out of this. Mm-hmm. I'm not getting the girl. So what am I doing here?
Yeah.
You know, like I kind of thought that was his vibe. Like, I don't think there was a thought of like, strategy. It just didn't hit me that way.
Yeah. And I mean, that's a good point too, because all of us guys in the house at the time, you know, we know, like, I knew it was going to be me and Garrett at the end, like from pretty early on. So you're right. Like, the guys know, you know what I mean? Like, the guy, like, I don't think Brandon thought he was going, you know, final two. Like, I don't think, like, well, I feel at this point, the guys know it's going to be Greg and Blake. Like, that's who I feel like is going to be the final two. You know what I mean?
I'm with you. And I, you know, it's funny you say that when you, like, I never thought about it until these last few seasons of like, oh, she hits it off with a couple. And then everyone else is like, oh, okay, it ain't us, but we're hanging, you know, like, And that's why I thought it was such a weird move to not keep Aaron. I kept calling the bouncers, Aaron and and Trey and the box guy.
Yeah, James.
Oh, James.
Like, those guys were pot stirrers, so at least keep them for the fun of like the show and the fun of it. Like, to me, keeping Mike P and Brendan was such a soft move for the show. Like, it didn't really make it a good show, you know?
Yeah, no, I would agree. And it's interesting because my final six on my season was pretty boring. Like, I'm not going to lie. Like, they kind of, it did the same thing. Once they got rid of like the potsters and the drama, and then our final six, it was pretty boring, you know, to a sense. Now, obviously, you're getting connections, and those are people who actually care for Katie and who Katie actually cares for. Mm-hmm. But you get to a point, I agree, where you're like, okay, we know who's going to win this. And I'm not saying like Jason and Colton didn't care about Becca, but I'm like, at the same time, I'm like, they knew, you know what I mean? I think they knew.
It wasn't a match.
Yeah, exactly. They knew. It was like, oh, I'm not going to engage this person.
So do you kind of, since you just mentioned Jason, do you feel that Justin is like Jason right now in that role?
Even more. Cause
he kind of came out of nowhere.
Jason,
like,
Jason came out of nowhere on my season, but Justin, I feel like he's even more out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, I would have seen like Andrew more of a Jason almost, because at least Jason's one-on-one went really, really well because he had his friends come in town and it went super well. It went super well. And Beck was like, oh my God, like, I wish I would have, you know, gotten to know Jason earlier. This has been amazing, blah, blah, blah.
Also, so, Jason got like beloved by people. Like,
quick.
The friend, very quickly, those the last, Buffalo like, thing.
Yeah,
it was his like brother's story.
And Justin had the facial reactions, but that was really it, you know, like that was like,
he makes solid memes like that.
Yeah, he's got a good meme face.
Don't
know one thing about him at all still.
No, and let's get into that. That, because we go to the group date. This is how much I didn't know about Justin. So he's into art. Like, I guess he's an artist.
I knew this before because I had a woman DM me. They're like, he's very talented. Like it was like, and then I was like, she was like, I'm cheering for him. I gotta let you know, he's like the most talented artist. I was like, okay, great. This is cool. You know, like, I hope I get to see it. And then they do this art date and it was bizarre. It felt, So the art date felt like, and I don't know if you guys saw this, it felt like Katie meant for this to be a sexualized thing. Yep. And then ABC was like, uh-uh. And they cut it all out. Because they do all this innuendo. They never say.
Never, yeah.
It's a vagina. And then she says they're self-portraits and no one.
Yeah, did you notice Blake offend the artist too?
Yeah. Like, yeah.
And you then have Blake- a messy vagina.
Color contrast, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, let her explain the vagina, like, you know, art she's doing, because obviously it's a, this is something during whatever, this is something, like, I made a joke where I was like, you know, I put my face on the red vagina one, and I said, this is her during a UTI outbreak, and like, and I was like, I was just like, but it was so weird how, because you could tell Katie is trying to do things to make this fun and funny, because I've met Katie. She came to one of my shows. She's like a big stand-up comedy fan.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know that. Wow.
In Seattle, she like goes to stand-up clubs. Like they knew her at the club. Like,
holy shit.
Yeah. So like she came to my show and she, you know, she has a, she really enjoys comedy. So you can tell, like, some of the sex stuff, she's, like, trying to make it a fun moment, which I'm, like, cool with. Like, the no masturbation thing didn't really go anywhere, but I'm happy they did it. You know, like, I thought it was whatever. It was fun to make fun of. But, like, you could tell, like, this woman's, like, I do self-portraits, like, wink, wink, wink. And you're, like,
there's, like, nothing from that, too. I feel kind of bad for the artist. Like, I feel like she was, like, yes, I'm going to be able to talk about my portraits and why I paint them and why I'm here and, like, how much I enjoy my passion. And then they just like cut her out of the episode. Like it was super weird to me. But I agree. I think the only person that kind of had fun with it was Blake, like a Blake. Yeah. Who knows? I mean, you can guess what he drew or painted, but they blacked out the whole thing. Like they couldn't even black out like pieces of it. They just said, fuck it.
I thought he just painted a black box.
That's what I thought at first. I was like, is he doing like I was going to make the joke, like, man, this guy needs serious help.
Very dark.
Imagine if a child like just was like, I do all black. Like,
yeah. But then I at first did too. But then you started moving the frame a little bit. When he started moving, I was like, oh, it's complete. Like it's a different color than the outside. Like it's like, oh, they black boxed the whole frame. Oh.
Yeah.
So he drew. I mean, I'm guessing he's talked to is people having sex. Like I don't know if it's like stick figures having sex or something. But it's clearly people having sex is what he drew. He had fun with it, but I do want to go back to Justin too, because he talks about how such good, you know, he's such a good artist. And he, when they first showed him, like he was crushing the rose, like he was doing a really good job. I was like, oh, this is gonna be awesome. Then he starts drawing like stick figures and stuff. And I was so confused by that. I was so excited to see his portrait.
It definitely looked like a child painted around a good painting.
Yeah. I think Andrew said it looked like he painted the rose with his right hand and then switched to his left. And the rest
Blake
of it.
Said, yeah, like I. Yeah.
Or Blake said,
yeah. Looked like he wrote it with his left hand.
Yeah. But he took it very serious, too, because he talked about family. And then what did Michael? I can't even remember what Michael painted. But yeah, I don't know. It was an interesting day. I thought they were going to have more fun. Look, with it.
Like, because they edited out the. Like whether this woman paints vaginas or not, which is the assumption we're making.
Mm-hmm.
We're not just saying that for no reason. Like that did seem like they were like hinting at that.
100%.
They made them all look stupid. Cause now they're like, it makes Blake look stupid. Cause it's like, why is he this super sexualized asshole? like why somebody do you have to draw two people fucking? Like, why not draw a rose? You know? Like,
yeah. Yeah. I know. It was just, I think the like setting up for the season, they're like, we're going to be so sex positive. And then they started to get some flashback. I think they started getting some blowback a little bit. And they're like, we need to clean it up a little bit. That's what I'm getting the sense of. Cause even
they really cut this out. Like this really? Was like, what cause I was like, it was all just like wink, wink. And you're like, what's going on?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It was interesting to say the least. Excuse me. So then we go into the night portion of the date. And I actually thought there were some decent conversations at this part, you know, the group date portion. I mean, Michael talks about his son a lot, talks about kind of what it would look like after.
That conversation was weird.
So isn't I
Mike literally goes, I need help. Like,
yeah, yeah. I'll go get the juice boxes and condiments.
Yeah, like what? Can, know. You know, being a mom is like more than juice boxes, right? Like, do you know that?
Yeah, because he said something about like, you know, I got my son. He's like, I take care of my in-laws. He's like, I just do all this different things. I'm like, damn, man, that's a lot to throw at Katie. Like, it is a lot to throw at Katie. But she handled it well. She handled a lot of the conversations well. But yeah, she... I don't know. She likes Michael, I can tell, but I think the maybe the father thing is a lot for her. I mean, I don't want to like step.
The, you know. The interesting part about Michael A is that it turns the tables. She has to be ready to marry him.
Yep.
He doesn't have to be ready to marry her because he has like, you have to be like, I'm going to meet the kid. I'm going to meet the family. I'm going to meet the in-laws that dealt with loss. Like, that's why I was so surprised that Michael A made it past this week to hometowns. Cause you go, you have to meet these people. Mm-hmm. Like that is, you're signing up at that point. Like if she thought it was hard to dump Brendan, who she spoke to for 4 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what's it going to be when you meet a little child? Like,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That's a great point because at that, yeah, because I mean, I'm guessing he would be at like his son would be at hometowns, right? I mean, that's important. You got to make sure they click. You know, can't be like he'd be like, I hate that girl, and then you bring her home and you're engaged. You know what I mean? Like that'd be a little.
I'm coming home with a new mommy. Like what? It's a little bizarre. Yeah,
that's such a good point. So you're right. And he did. I mean, he ended up getting the group date rose. We talked a little bit about the conversation.
And you mentioned it earlier too. Like you thought he was going to self-eliminate. I thought after that FaceTime early in the episode, I thought he was going to do that as well. At
it
some
felt
point.
Like it's been coming the whole mm-hmm. season. Mm-hmm. Like it just kind of,
because
like
I remember seeing that clip maybe 4 weeks ago or so, three or 4 weeks ago.
Yeah. In the previews.
I honestly think he'd be the best next Bachelor just because of like the stakes. So like, you would kind of get rid of like the cartoon characters that come on the show because you would look like a real asshole if you were like,
Victoria.
I'm a queen. Yeah. There's like a child involved.
Yeah.
Guy's a fucking widower. So, you're joking around.
Can I ask you your thoughts on Michael? Do you think he's over his ex the way he like,
I don't think
it's betraying himself. Listen,
I've never been through something like that, so I can't really speak to what his feelings are. Because they're like, I've heard that before where people are like, he's not ready. And I'm like, no, I think it's a different thing. It's not like he's not talking about an ex. You know, when he talks about his wife, he talks about someone who's an important role in his house, in his life. So like, I think he can be ready, but I think the way this, I actually think he'd be more ready for being the Bachelor than he would be to be on the Bachelorette, because Bachelorette, you're like, this is one person that you have to like, kind of like fit into your life. At least he would have like choices and
very true.
Yeah. And be able to date a bunch of
people. Yeah. He's navigating his own.
Yeah.
His path there.
I don't know if you like, I mean, like George just said, obviously we don't know what it's like to lose a spouse, but I don't know if you're ever like ready. It's not like it's an ex. It's not like an ex where you just move on. All of a sudden you're like, hey, I'm ready to date again. You know, it's not like that. Like she'll always be a part of his life, his son's life.
He's also just been so wonderful. As a person on the show, like the way he speaks about things, he always nails it. Mm-hmm. Like I had this like horrific thought when I saw him on the show and I heard his story. I didn't know his story until like the first episode. And he goes, when I heard his story, I was like, I kept thinking of like the worst person ever being like, go on The Bachelor. Like, you know, like,
like you lost your wife. Yeah. Go on
The Bachelor. Like that's the reason he came on. And when he explained why he came on, I was like, oh, this makes total sense. Like I get it from his perspective, like get out of your town for a second, get away from like, especially if he's taking care of his in-laws. Like,
yeah,
that's like,
a lot.
I can't imagine. I can't imagine what it's like. So
he's been great the whole season. Like you said, like he had some one-liners in there and some things that I wrote down. I was like, damn, that's good, man.
Yeah,
like, shoot.
He's been really great.
He's been great. And I think, you know, I mean, unless he ends up Katie, but I think like he definitely has a shot to be the Basher. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So You want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
But he does get the group date rose here. So he's also going to hometowns. We got two hometowns right there. We got Greg and we got Michael now. So I'm going to this next one-on-one. And again, I barely know this guy at all. Like, at all. I feel like I haven't seen anything from this guy, even like conversations with Katie from this one-on-one. What's his name?
Michael P.
P. That's right. It's another Michael. That's why. Okay. So Michael P. So this is funny because I've done this date.
So you did this date.
I did this date in Paradise. With Caitlin, Canadian Caitlin, and we were in swimsuits, so not so.
Oh, you're in a hot tub, right?
We were in like a hot tub. Well, we started like actually doing it, and then we went to the hot tub after. But we did on like a yoga mat and everything with two instructors. It was a male and a female instructor, and we were like doing literally the exact moves they were doing, but in swim trunks. It was even more like sensual and stuff. Huh. But it can be awkward. I'm not gonna lie, it's a little awkward because you obviously. Of course they do it with him, you know, with the virgin. But it's like tantric yoga. And they're like, you do like that one where there was one, I remember me and Caitlin sat on each other's laps and stared in each other's eyes for like a solid 2.5 minutes, which is a long time to stare in each other's eyes. You know, you're trying not to laugh because you don't want to offend the like actual yoga instructor. It is very awkward date. It is a very awkward date.
I felt bad for him. I was like, you know, like I get like she even says, she's like, I know him mentally, but I got to get to know him physically. And it's like, this is also too late to be doing that in the show. Yeah. Like you don't know him mentally. You don't know him. You haven't been on one one-on-one date. Like they could have done any other type of date, but this, and it's like, you put this guy in a position and he's like, it is. And he starts bringing up his mom. Yeah, and
like, should we do this segment whispering?
Oh man. I know. It's like, oh man,
go, dude. Like, it was interesting that he said, he made a comment, I'd rather get my heart broken than break your heart ever. And it kind of, I don't know if this is editing, but it looked like the wheel clicked in Katie's head where she's like, I gotta stop fucking with this guy.
Yeah,
Do you know what I mean? Because there is an element when you say you're the sex positive bachelorette, and listen, I like Katie. But there is an element when you say you're the sex positive bachelorette and you keep the virgin on, it feels like you're keeping him on to show that you're sex positive from all angles. Do you know what I mean? And she even says, she's like, you taught me that like, if someone doesn't have sex, that doesn't mean that's her whole personality. And it's like, yeah, that's a nice life lesson on fucking Full House. But this is a guy whose life came in and gave you his time. And it's like, send him home. You knew he wasn't the man. You don't have to teach us a lesson about virginity. Yeah. Like, I don't need you to be the, and Nick Viall did this on his season and it annoyed me then. And it annoys me a little bit here where I'm like, you're not the producer. You know, you're here. You have to act honestly. You're here for love. Keep the people here for love. I don't need you doing, well, he's good for a lesson on virginity and you know, you can be sex positive and religious. And it's like, I don't need to see all sides. I'm fucking watching The Bachelor.
No, that's a great point. And I think it totally happens a lot. Like you talked about how it maybe clicked for Katie. Like it's hard on these leads. Like the leads know what they're there to do. Listen, they have to date these men, even if they're not into them, they have to kiss people they're not into, but they still do feel bad about it. Like they do feel bad. And I think Katie finally was just like, I just can't do this anymore. Like I'm not saying the producers wanted to keep Michael around, but like, I feel like she finally was just like, guys, I don't care what you want. I'm going to send this poor guy home. Like, he's been through a lot this season. He was on that weird date where they had to like write sex poems or sex songs or whatever.
Yeah. They're
now
just
on tantric yoga.
Them.
Yeah. Just like, come on, guys. Like,
and she probably feels she's a part of that at some point, whether it's producers or her or a mix of the two. It felt like a mix of the two.
Yeah. I
agree. And you go, come on, you know, like and I'm happy she sent him home then, but like, I would rather watch her on a hot date with someone she did have a physical chemistry with, you know?
Great point, actually. That's a good point. But I will say about Michael, the man took that breakup like a champ. Like, he said some incredibly nice things to Kate.
He had to have seen that coming, though.
Like, I was just like, very true. He probably did.
But he did seem like a good guy. Like,
genuinely.
I'm sure.
He's like, you're
going to
make an amazing wife. You're going to be an incredible mother, you know? And I was like, oh, damn, he's taking this well.
And they sent him home in his, PJs. That's great.
Yeah, the yoga PJs, whatever that was. But not a shock. Like I said, not a shock that he went home. So we're going into the rose ceremony. And again, I mean, we talked about it earlier. I was shocked. So there was three guys standing up there. Justin gets the rose, and that means Andrew's going home. And I didn't see this coming. I did not. I still don't feel like I don't know much about Justin. I still feel like I don't know much about Justin. So it's going to be interesting going into hometowns because I don't know what to expect. Like, where's he from? I don't know where he's from. Like, I feel like I know where all the other guys
are. He hasn't
from.
Talked about his family either or anything.
So it's going to be interesting. But let's talk about Andrew going home and the goodbye there. That looked genuinely difficult for Katie. I think she had real feelings for him. So I guess why do you think she picked Justin over? Do you think she has stronger feelings for Justin, or do you think she like respects Andrew so much that maybe in what your conversation they had earlier in the day, it clicked for her that they're not getting it up together. I might as well get rid of him now than take him along further.
Like, but it's like, or like watching the season, when have you not seen them connect? Cause they've had pretty much a perfect relationship this whole season.
Yeah. It always felt like she was a motherly role to him. It felt like Andrew was a lot younger than she was. And then I think I was saying that a few episodes ago where it felt like Andrew was like, kind of like, and listen, I like Andrew, like, but he seemed really happy, very, you know, cool to be there. But then again, I'll bring up what I brought up before when he mentions, I don't really know what the next step is for me in life. Like, you know, there's gotta be an element where Katie doesn't know what the next step is for her. So you got two people that don't know what the fuck is next. Like that's a hard thing to sign up for. So I really do believe when a man says on this show, yeah, I don't really know. What do you think could be next for me? Do you have any ideas? You know, like,
help me out. You know,
yeah. Help me out here. I'm trying to think of what I should do with my life. And you go, oh my God. Like if I man or a woman, I would think the same thing. I'd be like, I'm going to let you go because I can't let us get down the road on this. Like,
especially if you're looking for a wife or a husband, like a fun fling. Okay. But like a lifelong partner.
Yeah. She's here for an engagement. And I think that was kind of part of the,
That had to have just been it right there. That one moment.
Yeah. Cause they've been great up until that moment. Yeah. So, but Katie's visibly shaken. I think, you know, the biggest thing she said was like, this is the first decision I've made where I'm not completely confident in it, which I think says a lot about her connection with Andrew. But I want to know what you guys think about. So obviously the night ends, you know, they're getting ready for the next day. Then we go to the next day. Andrew comes back. Personally, this is always for me, because Jason did it on my season. I think it's a terrible move. I think it's horrible. I just think it's cringy. I'm like, dude, you got dumped. Don't come back. I think it's a bachelor play a little bit. I think, and don't get me wrong, Andrew looked great. Like, I think he looked great. But for me, it was awkward the way Katie almost was like so excited to see him and just like grabbed his hand. And they even like had some intimate moments, you know? And I'm like, that's awkward. She just dumped him. She's moved on to these other guys. And yet she's like still all over my.
And then she asks him back. He says no. And then, can we get one more kiss?
It was weird.
It was a bad look for Katie.
Yes, it was.
It's one thing for him to come back because he doesn't have a room full of women waiting for him to date in the other room. She has a room full of men that it's not the same as your ex coming back and being like, hey, let's work on this. Like, no, she said, I am saying no to you to say yes to these other four guys.
Damn, that's
so
true,
when she says, can I have a kiss? Like,
that was so
you go,
weird.
Come on, Katie.
I know.
It's over. You ended it. And do you want to come back? You can have anything you want. Like, at what point are you in control of your own future?
Yeah.
You know? So it is. And again,
it's disrespectful. You could say it's disrespectful to the other man.
Yeah,
it is.
And it's like you made the choice. And I like Katie. That's the thing. But she does stuff like this all the time where she rewards boldness. Yeah. And he makes a bold move. So come in. You can eat whatever you want. You can stay. You can go. Yeah, let me, you know, like it just turns into this thing where you go, what are you talking about? Like, and especially her chasing him.
The chase down.
Like I was waiting for like the janitor to be like, you're looking for Andrew, huh? You know, he left 30 minutes ago. First flat out. You know, you're like, what?
Oh, like, man.
What are you doing?
It was a little cringy to me. And I'm glad Andrew said no. Like, what if he does come? Like, that's, I don't know. It was weird, man. It was,
no, he's like, no, I have 1,000 DMs I just saw.
A couple thousand.
Yeah, but yeah, it's kind of weird. It's like his note said, I'll be waiting for you. But then he turns her down too. It's like,
but that's what dumb people say. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, the dumper knows before the dumpy. So you have to respect the dumpy and they're going through whatever they're going through. She, and respect is holding on to your dump. Yep, she didn't hold on to her dump. She wavered. And it's like, how long? I expected his note to be like, hey, and if you have any recommendations for a good career after this, I really enjoy it.
Do you have any job references in Seattle? Yeah.
Can I use you as a reference, Katie?
Yeah. Katie, if you know any brand influencer agents, I am down. Yeah.
Do you know anyone with the Seahawks organization?
Yeah. It had to be a little weird for these guys who are left to watch this back, you know, this week, knowing that like she changed her mind and like she would have rather taken him than maybe some of the other guys.
Let's remind everyone, he's fifth place. What's going to happen for fourth place and third place and second place? Like, if this isn't the other guy, this is
One fifth. Of
five.
Yeah,
others.
That's a great point. Yeah. Like when she sits down after dumping one of the other guys and he says something cute and mushy, is she going to be like, oh no, I made a mistake. Like, come back.
We're extending the season 3 more weeks. Like, what?
Yeah, exactly. That's a great point. It's going to be interesting to see. And I kind of talked about it a couple weeks ago. I think Katie genuinely is a good person, has a good heart, and it's going to get harder and harder and harder for her as she makes real connections. And we're seeing that now. I think this is the first one where we're like, oh, this could be interesting.
She has to remember she can't please everyone. And it's like, you got it. Like, and if you're worried about that, and that was kind of my concern with her getting into the season. Like she felt like she was like always on the, like in please mode. You know, even when she like made mistakes on social media, she was apologizing to everyone. You go, at what point are you going to have to, you're going to have to be the bad guy to somebody. Don't you think?
Yeah. Always. Blake, you here?
We back.
We back.
My computer was about to die.
Oh shit.
Plugged it in. We good.
I was just saying, she's a people pleaser. At some point, she's going to have to be the bad guy to somebody. And
agreed. Yeah. And that's like what you have to do as a lead. Like you have to be the bad guy. You have to be prepared to be the lead. Yeah. It's going to be interesting. So then we saw, you know, kind of the preview for the next couple of weeks. We're down to hometowns. And it looks like it gets wild. I mean, I say this after every preview, I swear. A lot of tears, her just struggling through things. Who do you guys, we have Justin, Blake, Greg, Michael A. So who do you think's going home next week? I've been wrong. I feel like I've been wrong every week.
I think it's Blake and Greg, like you said before. I don't think there's Michael A. I still don't buy it, even though their story, like even though they say all the right things to each other, I don't see it.
Yeah.
But I can't see it as any other two, but I mean, she's buying that Greg shit. So.
She is. She really, really is. She loves what Greg is offering, what Greg's saying. I think she likes the chase. Like she just seems to like this chase, which I get because all the other guys are groveling to her. You know what I mean? And like saying how incredible she is. And he's kind of like fighting that a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I think so too. I think Greg and Blake, next week we got the Mintel All look like too.
But is there like a portion of hometowns and the Tell All?
That's exactly what it is, I think. Yeah, I think it's hometowns. Part of hometowns and then the Mintel All. So
I didn't even watch the preview because I just turned it off right there. Who's going to host the Men Tell All?
They didn't show.
Caitlin and Tayshia. It's those two hosting it. I'm trying to think, you know, sometimes you look forward to these Men Tell Alls because of drama. I mean, I guess maybe there's going to be some with like Thomas.
Thomas will have a little bit. Aaron.
Yeah, but they,
I think Hunter Aaron maybe. And the, I think the mean
Hunter
girls.
Maybe. I could see Hunter fighting back a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I feel like it wasn't like a complete villain this year. Like I said, they stretched for villains. They reached for villains this year.
Trey, maybe.
Yeah.
That guy, he's going on Paradise.
There's a lot of those guys going on Paradise, yeah.
What's his name? Yeah. He was the one that was like, he was such a villain that it was almost a cartoon villain. Like, it just didn't work.
Oh, Carl. He was like the first
villain. The dollar store motivational speaker.
Yeah. Those guys. All you talked about, it was Aaron, Trey, and James. Man. It was like every week, man, they picked somebody. They're like, hey, you're going. We're gonna tell Katie, you out.
Yeah.
So we'll see what we got going for the Men Tell All next week. Jared, man, it's been great. Where can people find you, man? So he's got a podcast. I've been on it. It's great, guys. Where can people find that?
The Bachelor. We do that every, you know, do reviews and give out awards and stuff. So The Bachelor with Betches. You can find that wherever you get podcasts. And I'm on Instagram at Jared Fried. I yell at The Bachelor every Monday night. I had my neighbors downstairs. I think they were like hitting the ceiling. They were because I was being
too loud.
Is that
what it was? I heard something knock.
I was like, I heard that.
I heard that earlier too. I was like, somebody's at your door? They were not.
That's never
happened.
That's
like Friends style stuff. Like,
dude, yeah. I swear to God, I was like, what the fuck is that? So, but I hopefully that I don't get mad tonight because I'll be screaming tonight. But The Bachelor is the podcast. I would love for everyone to check it out.
Yeah, and everybody go check. He really does yell at The Bachelor. Like, you got to go watch it. It's really funny.
And how about any shows coming up? Man.
So funny. Yeah, do you got any? Yeah, do you have back out on the road?
Dude, I got road shit. I'm going to be in. Hold on one second. I'm going to be in Orlando. I'm going to be in Richmond, Virginia, Mohegan Sun, Austin, Boston, Connecticut, DC.
Hell yeah.
I'm all over the place. JaredFried.com, JaredFried.com for tickets, all my dates. And yeah, I'm out there. But Orlando's next. If anyone's in Orlando, we could use some help there. So.
Cool. Everybody go check out his calendar.
Yeah.
Is Denver on there at all?
I've been trying to get Denver going for so long. And if anyone listens that knows the Comedy Works, that's like a great club in Denver. Like
it is.
I can get you plugged in with them.
Yeah, he's got
tell them. I'll sell it out, no problem. I got like tons of Denver people.
Oh, absolutely. And it's a great comedy city.
The best comedy city. They say Chappelle's favorite club. Like,
yeah.
So they...
You gotta play the downtown one.
That's the downtown one. Mm-hmm. And I've done it before. I did my podcast there, but like I'm trying to do a weekend there. And every time I post dates, people are like Denver. So I know people are there. Mm-hmm. So I would love to come to the Comedy Works.
Eric can help you out for sure. So
I would love that.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool, man. We'll appreciate you coming on. And
thank you.
We'll see you soon here in Denver and stuff, man.
Absolutely. Pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Behind the Rose is recorded live at the world famous Grizzly Rose or wherever we happen to be. Be sure to go check out our Instagram at Behind the Rose Podcast and follow us so you always know when we drop a new episode. And give us all 5 of those stars. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time. Behind the Rose.